Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, one and all. Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing our study in this great chapter. Let's read verses 20, 21, and 22. All right. Verse 20 reads, by faith. Now that's the introduction to quite a few of the verses. By faith. In other words, as a result of the faith that was in their hearts regarding God, His promises, and His revealed plans to them, men and women acted. If you have faith in God, it will make you act in a certain way. It will make you act in a certain way. And you look out, and it's raining hard, as it is today, and you're heading out the door, you will act in a certain way because you believe it's raining. You'll put your coat on. Well, when we believe what the Bible says about God, we will act in a certain way. We will act in a certain way. That's what distinguishes the Christian. That's what makes a difference between the Christian and the rest of the world. The Christian believes there is a God. Believes what the Bible says about God. And the Christian, therefore, walks in a certain direction. Well, the world doesn't believe in God. And because it doesn't believe in God, it walks in an entirely different direction. So when we read here in this chapter 11, the words by faith, by faith, by faith, it's telling us that as a result of the faith of the individuals whose names are recorded here, they acted in a certain way. And as we read what is recorded here, we learn how we too should act when faced with the same situation as they were faced with. Verse 20 again then. We didn't get too far, only two words. But see if we can get a little further. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons, concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, the son of Isaac, we've moved on a generation. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, another generation, we've moved on. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Well, we'll leave it there. And we'll consider just what is stated here for us, or at least consider something of what is stated here. Since verse 8, we have been looking at Abraham. And there is a mention of Sarah. But it chiefly has been considering Abraham and his faith. Now we come to his son, his grandsons, and his great grandsons. And it's nice to notice, boys and girls, that verse 8 starts, by faith, Abraham. And then verse 20 starts, by faith, Isaac. That's his son. Verse 21 starts, by faith, Jacob. That's his grandson. And then verse 22, by faith, Joseph. One of his great grandsons. It's nice to see faith in each generation. Let me ask you, was your mummy and daddy same? Have you the same faith? Have you the same faith? Are you saved? That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. We ought to follow in the steps of mother and father as they seek to walk with God. Well, we see that here in these three verses that we are looking at. And it's worth our attention right away. Let me start off by pointing out to you that it says in verse 20 that Isaac believed in things to come. Look at verse 20. Listen to what it says. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Things to come. Oh, boys and girls. Isaac gave Jacob and Esau many an earthly gift, of that I am sure. Many an earthly gift. He cared for his two sons for many years, and day after day he would have benefited them and blessed them by his love and his care, his gifts, and his protection. But above all, it says that he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Listen to me. Your mum and dad feed you, clothed you. You mightn't have thought too much about it, but do think about it and recognize how it is they have cared for you. But far above that, I am sure that they have sought to bless you concerning things to come. I'm sure they have sought to bless you, just as we read here of Isaac blessing his sons concerning things to come. I'm sure that is how it has been with your mum and dad. Because you see, they're not only interested in how you live today, but they want you to think about things to come. They want you to know that there are things to come. In fact, we could say that the things to come are far more important than the things of today. Life at best, the hymn says, is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. It's a short affair. Life's a short affair. Now you might say, if you were at school, you wouldn't think it was short. Our days seem awful long. Well, I too was at school, and I can remember how long the days seemed to be at school. But I'm telling you, boys and girls, it's 50 years and more ago that I was at school. Nearly 60 years ago that I was at school. In fact, it is 61 years since I left school. And those 61 years have gone by almost like a flash. Almost like a flash. Life is brief at best, but there are things to come that will last forever and ever. And ever, and ever, and ever. Therefore, those things are much more important than the things of life. Food and clothing are important for the few years that we're here upon the face of the earth, but how we will be forever, and ever, that's more important. That's more important. And Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He wanted his sons to know there were things to come. I don't think I'm going to get by this verse today, because it just seems to be opening up here and calling upon us to give attention to what is said. First of all, notice that Isaac had a knowledge of things to come. Isaac was a man who thought about things to come. It is a wonderful privilege, boys and girls, to have a daddy who thinks about things to come. As many as a boy and a girl today, and they've a daddy who thinks only of today. And they teach their children to think only of today. They have no idea about God. They have no idea about eternity. No knowledge of these things. And the vast majority of people out there in the world really have no knowledge of God. No knowledge of God. Oh, they may talk about Him. They may readily say, oh yes, there is a God. Oh yes, I believe in God. But if you question them, who is the God you believe in? What's He like? What has He said? I don't really know. They have notions in their head that are not founded, based upon, built on the truth of God. Just notions that they've formed themselves. But Isaac had a knowledge of things to come. That's a great privilege. That's a great privilege. Having a knowledge of things to come. Having God share with you what He has planned to do and will do. That's a privilege. I haven't a clue what the Prime Minister is going to do regarding the problems and difficulties that face our country. I don't know. And to be quite honest, I don't think he knows. But even if he did know, he has never told me, and he's not likely to. But I know what God is going to do. And so may you know. God's willing to share with you that secret. It's in this book. And you can drink, if I might put it like this, you can drink from the same well of knowledge as did Isaac. He knew of things to come because God told him. And he believed God by faith, Isaac, etc. Because he believed what God had said, that he blessed his sons concerning things to come. And the blessing he bestowed upon them is seen in, we'll not turn to it, we really haven't time, but Genesis chapter 27, the verses 26 to 40, where you have Isaac blessing his two sons, Jacob and Esau. And he tells them what it is they're going to experience in the years to come. And not only what they're going to experience, but what their sons and sons and sons, etc. are going to have from the hand of God in the years to come. And he was able to tell them this because God told him. So you get the point? Isaac had a knowledge of things to come. Then there's something else I want to say. Though he blessed his two sons by speaking to them of the knowledge he had of things to come, there was a great difference between his two sons. Both of them would have been taught by their father the same things from they were boys. But one believed and one didn't. Jacob believed God. You see how verse 21 begins? By faith, Jacob. He believed, as did his father Isaac. He joined his father Isaac in believing God, but Esau didn't. He didn't. He heard the same as Jacob, was instructed the same as Jacob concerning God and eternity and the way of salvation. But while Jacob believed, Esau didn't. Now I do want you to do something for me. Turn over one page of your Bible to chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Two words are used there to describe Esau. Fornicator, profane. Both words indicate he was a sinful man, a wicked man. A man who didn't believe God or believe the Bible. believe the word of God, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Do you remember the story? He came in hungry, and he saw Jacob there preparing food and being hungry. He said, "Oh, give me something of that. Give me something of that." Jacob said, "Yes, I will, if you sell me your birthright." You see, Esau was the oldest son, and being the oldest son, the birthright was his. And the birthright was the blessing of God upon the eldest son. But Esau didn't care tuppence about the blessing of God. And he sold it to Jacob. For what? A morsel of meat or of food. A morsel of meat. Just a mouthful or two. That's how much he thought of God's blessing and that which God could give him. He didn't care tuppence about it. How much do you care about the gospel? You boys and girls, we today have our Bible because in years gone past there were those who cared so much about the Word of God they gave up their life rather than give up the Bible. The history of our country, not just Northern Ireland, the whole of the United Kingdom, is one that has within it shining lights, godly men and women suffering rather than surrender or sell their birthright. And by standing firm, they have passed on to us the benefits of the gospel. Esau, he valued the blessing of God as less than a mouthful or two of porridge, we'll put it like that. And he was prepared to sell his birthright for a morsel. A morsel. Small. Mouthful. Isn't it strange that two boys brought up together, hearing the same teaching? One today is in heaven. The other is in hell. Isn't that sad? It's more than sad. Listen to the rest of what I started to read there in chapter 12. Look at it. I read verse 16, which ends, "Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright? For ye know how that afterward, after he did that, when he would have inherited the blessing," there come a time when he decided, wait a minute, the blessing that I sold for a morsel of meat, I think I'd like it now. I think it's of more value than I did when I sold it for a morsel of meat. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, boys and girls, those are amongst the saddest words in the Bible. The man who sold salvation for a morsel of meat, and then realized later in life, what have I done? And tried to undo what he had done. And he wept bitterly at what he had done. But he found no place of repentance. No pardon. No forgiveness. No pardon. No forgiveness. Though he sought it carefully with tears. Listen to me. Listen to me, boys and girls. That's how many have ended their lives. They've heard the gospel, they rejected the gospel, but then they ended their days with bitter, bitter regret. And at this very moment, Esau is still weeping and wailing at what he did. Thousands of years have passed since Esau died, but he's still weeping and wailing, and he will do it for all eternity because he rejected the gospel. Yes, there was a difference in Isaac's sons. They did not heed or listen to their father in the same fashion. Jacob obeyed, Esau didn't. And that was even though Isaac had taught them both the same truth. We have here today, in most cases, a number from the same family. If you haven't a brother or a sister here in school today, you have a brother and sister possibly at home who passed through the school, and you know that they're saved. What about you? If they're saved, they're like Jacob. But if you're not saved, you're like Esau. Are you going to continue like him? Or are you, while you have opportunity, going to repent and call on the Lord and believe his word and be saved? Which is it going to be? May the Lord challenge your heart today and bring you to a knowledge of himself. Now we have some more to look at in the three verses that we read, but we have only got one verse done today. But may the Lord bless it to you. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, write your word on our hearts, I pray. Lord, may there be no Esau's in our school, but may all be like Jacob. May they by faith embrace the teaching of God. Bless our school, undertake for it in every matter, and answer prayer for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.